Hi, welcome to the Dr. Dreama Show, inspiration and practical strategy for achieving your dream life. I'm your host, Dr. Dreama. I'm a psychologist and life designer. I'm here to help you design the life you want and deserve. Sometimes in the online world, we get to meet people that we would never meet in real life. My next guest is one of those people, and I'm so excited to introduce you to her. Her name is Sarah Little. When I first became acquainted with Sarah in the online world, she was running a coaching school. And then she left to become an attorney. And I was like, oh my God, that's so exciting. And then she started a skincare line. She's the founder of Now, a beautiful line of skincare. And I want to issue a warm welcome to you, Sarah. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's a real privilege to be here and just chat with you. I feel like, you know, we were saying before, I feel like I've known you for quite some time. And, you know, it's great that you've seen me through my journey as well.
So tell me about this journey, because this has been a relatively short period of time that you have gone from coaching to becoming an attorney to launching this skincare line. Tell me about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess one of the things is there, it can look quite flippant and it can look like I'm quite spontaneous, but and I am, but I'm also quite driven and I do see things through. So when I first met you, I did have a coaching school. And so I did train life coaches, and that was a purely online based business, and it was an incredible business, and I did extremely well, and I'm so grateful for that business and the opportunities. And I'd had that business for around 10 years all up as a coach and as a coaching teacher, so I was kind of getting towards the end of that business. And I think, you know, in business, you have cycles, just like, you know, in a relationship with your partner, you have cycles, and sometimes they're great and sometimes they're not so good. And also sometimes things fizzle out. And I'd felt like the romance, the love, the lust, the passion had fizzled out, and I couldn't seem to get it back. And it had came at a really good time, because towards the end of my coaching business, I was also finishing up my degree in law, and I started studying that degree, and some people would say I'm crazy, but I started studying it because I literally just woke up one day and I said to myself, I'm going to study law. And I decided to study law. It was amazing. And I think some of my best ideas have come just from not thinking, and then they come when you're not thinking. Mm-hmm. Especially after a big sleep or even in the shower, and I decided to study law, and it wasn't anything that was too spontaneous, because when I was younger, I actually did want to be a lawyer, and what happened was my parents divorced and my life took a different path, and so I actually decided to relive my dream from my youth, which I'm so lucky that I was able to do. And so it got to the end of my business, and I'd realized that I didn't have the passion there. And so I thought that the best thing for me to do was to be a lawyer. And I had been admitted and I'd finished my degree. So I sold my business and I decided to go off into the workforce, 9 to 5, 8 to 6, 8 to 10, right. and really try to do that. And I thought, you know, I could, and I was doing really well, but it didn't have that same feeling. There was a fulfillment lacking, and it's so hard to explain. And I think if you've been there and if you've been in the workplace and then you've worked for yourself, you'll understand that it's just two polar opposites. And I realized that I wasn't a follower. I didn't like the rules that my boss set. And in fact, there was a turning point. One day I looked at my boss and I just realized I didn't want to be anything like her. And that was the moment when I was like, you know, you could give me hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars to be, a CEO of a law firm. And I will turn that down, that offer down. I just don't want it. There are more important things in life than doing something you dislike. So I was also on the side, while I was working as a lawyer, on the side I was building up my skincare business, and I was just doing that purely as a part-time thing. I had no intention of going full-time with that. But then in the end, I decided that why not? Why not go full-time and go all in on what I love? And while money could have kept me in the position, I decided that I will leap and the net will appear. And it did.
That's amazing. Let me ask you though, because a lot of the people that I talk to, they reach that point where they realize that they're in this job. They thought it would look like this, but then they get there and it's just, it doesn't fulfill you. But there's the money, there's the security. Was it hard to walk away from that?
No, it wasn't. Because I think the thing is, a lot of us are confused. The people that are doing those jobs that they don't like, and they're staying there for the money and the security and the 401k plan or the superannuation or whatever they're going to get out of it in, you know, 70 years time. A lot of us are confused about what we value, but when you really understand what you value, as an example, one of my highest values is freedom. I value the freedom to do what I want, when I want. And that value was not playing out when I was working. And the thing with values is, once you understand what you value, you actually really understand yourself a little bit better. But you also have to realize that your values are like air. You need to have them in order to live. They're not something that they're not to be confused with a goal. A goal is something that you're going to strive for one day, someday you'll get there. A value is something that you need today. So if you are stuck in a job you hate and you're staying there for the money, I would take some time out to really look at and really reacquaint yourself with what you value. And if you value freedom or something other than that job and that money, then you can and you should find a way to make that happen, because you need to live out that value to be really, truly, honestly happy on an internal level, not an external level.
That is so true. And I like the way that you break that down into values versus goals, because unless we really have a sense of what we value, we can set the wrong goals for ourselves. Mm. And when we do that, we wind up unhappy, because, you know, freedom, the value of freedom doesn't necessarily equate to the goal of having a corporate job. Mm. So it's amazing though, that so many people don't spend time thinking about their values and what they want out of life.
Mm. Absolutely. And I think one of the things that a lot of us do, and myself included, is we set ourselves on automatic pilot and we just go through the day and through the motion. We never take that time. And then the other thing is, when we do take that time, what we do is we jump straight to setting goals and straight to our vision board and our big picture. But we actually never really take the time to stop and reconnect with ourselves from that values place.
That's exactly it. You know, I think it's so important to encourage people to sort of sit down and do some self-reflection. What's really important to me? I think it's so easy. Like you said, we get on autopilot, we get up, we put one foot in front of the other. We're not really thinking about what it is that I really want out of life. We're just going through the motions, and then we're distracting ourselves by being on Facebook all day long.
Absolutely.
So what do we really want is a great question. So with the skincare line, you were just sort of, it sounds like you were kind of dabbling in it on the side. At what point did you go, this is viable? This is something I should share with other people.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think there was ever a point for the skincare where I was like, this is viable. It was one of those things that was sort of on the slow burner for the longest time, because when I you know, I've always been into luxury skincare, like La Mer, Sisley, you know, Dior, Chanel. Like I've always been into luxury skincare. But when I downshifted and moved to my partner and we moved off the grid a few years ago, I sort of moved towards the more natural skincare, and then I moved towards creating my own. And there wasn't, at the time, there weren't any natural luxury, you know, glam, eco-friendly skincare ranges on the market. And so I actually started making my own, and then I started sharing it with friends and family, and it just developed. And then I started actually making it professionally, and now it's in some of the shops in my little village here in Australia, and it's sold online. And it just has been, you know, going really slow, but it's weird. It's slow, but it's been going really fast as well.
It's amazing how something can be both things, right? Moving slow and yet moving fast at the same time.
And I think that's something that I've really come to value. And I think a lot of us want to have a lot of action and a lot of movement toward our goals. But I think one of the things is you have to realize that sometimes inaction is more valuable than action, as well as understanding that the actions you do take should be truly purposeful. And I've made sure that every breath and every bit of energy that I've put on my business has intention behind it, has purpose. It's not there, and I've had to check in with myself so many times. It's not there to try and sell. It's not there to try and be the best or get you know, thousands of followers. It's there to simply help to serve not only my customers, but myself as well.
That's wonderful. That's the sort of product that I like to support. Somebody who has thoughtfulness behind it. And I love what you say about sometimes you have to have inaction, which goes back to something that you said earlier, which is sometimes the best ideas come when you're not thinking about it. You know, and so many people have forgotten how to leave space in their lives. It's like, if I have free time, I have to fill it with something. And yeah. I think, no, you don't have to fill it with anything. You could just sit and stare outside and daydream. You know, one of my favorite things to do here is just go to a cafe and people watch. I'm not thinking about anything in particular, but I might get a great idea at the end of it. And then again, I may not, but I'm okay with that.
Absolutely. And I'm the same, actually. One of the best things I did was get rid of my phone. I actually don't own a phone anymore. So I'm not, when I'm outside or when I'm at the coffee shop or when I'm waiting in line at the supermarket, I don't have a phone. So I'm not online in those moments. I am people watching and observing, and it's fascinating.
Wow. And I'm sure that some of our listeners right now are going, how can you live without a phone? But something you said earlier, Sarah, I want to ask you about that, because I do remember this from our online stuff. Mm-hmm. You moved off the grid. Mm-hmm. Tell us about moving off the grid. What prompted that, and what was it like?
Yeah, it's funny because it's quite popular now, this tiny home movement and moving off the grid. And look, I'd say it's good and bad. My partner at the time, he wanted to move down to be closer to his family. And I said, you know, at the time we were living in Sydney, Australia. And I said, you know, I don't really know. I've lived in the city for, you know, 8-9 years. I don't really want to move off the grid and be near your family and in the middle of nowhere, basically. You know, I didn't see his family very often. They lived quite far away. So it was, I didn't have a hugely good relationship at that time with them. But then I decided, look, you know, my family wasn't in Sydney. And so, you know, why should I stop him from being with the people he loves because of my selfishness? So I decided that, you know what, I'll move with him and he can be with his family and I'll get to know them better. And we moved into a a bus, an old bus, house bus. It leaked when it rained and it was cold in the winter. It was freezing, and in the summer it was like a little sauna. It was terrible, but my partner fixed it as we went, and then he also built a hay bale, or straw bale, whatever you like to call it, extension, made with straw bales and mud bricks, so completely natural. And it was one of the most challenging times in my life, living in a tiny home off the grid. It was hard work. And despite the TV shows making it super glamorous, it was not glamorous. It was hard work. It was lonely. I lost myself. I found myself. I was depressed. I struggled a lot. But I learned a lot as well. You know, oftentimes we think that struggling is such a bad thing, but it gave me so much strength, and it really did make me who I am today. It made me into a much more stronger, clearer-minded person.
I would imagine that there were a lot of challenges, just, you know, weather-wise, but mm-hmm. just the whole idea of the small space. You know, sometimes small spaces can be great because there's not a lot to take up room, but other ways, I would imagine it could feel really confining.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it was funny. There was so many things that I had to overcome. I remember there was one time I was sitting on our little balcony, our mud brick balcony, and there was in Australia, there's snakes. And I come from New Zealand and there's no snakes. And a big brown snake, when I was studying on my computer, a big brown snake came up right beside me.
Oh,
just
God.
Right beside my foot. It put its head up, and I had my computer on with a little bit of music, so I just pressed the music down a little bit. It put its head up and it put its tongue out, and I was just so still, and I was just like, but you know what's weird is it was in that moment that, you know, you think that when you're confronted by something so dangerous and something that you're really scared of, you'd freak out, but I just felt so drawn to the snake. Like, it was so mysterious, and there was a beauty to it. There was such beauty in this creature that we've deemed the devil.
And right.
Then it put its head down and it slid off, and I was just like shaking still. But it was just one of those things, and it was just like, I was terrified. But the symbology behind it, it just made me really appreciate that the fact that sometimes we mislabel and misjudge situations and people and things. The snake didn't want to hurt me. It put its tongue out, it smelt me, and it went away.
But what I love about this story is here you are confronting something that you're terrified of, but at the same time, you're able to see its beauty.
Mm, absolutely. And you know, there's a really good scene that also illustrates this in The Way of the Peaceful Warrior. It's, you can read it in the book, but you can actually also watch the movie. And it's, I think the movie's a bit better for this scene. And Socrates and Dan, they're confronted by these bullies, and they ask, and they have knives, and they ask that they give them their clothes and their watches and their jewelry and all this sort of stuff. And Socrates keeps telling the baddies, here, do you want my jacket? Here, do you want my watch? Here. And he's giving them all his things. And afterwards, you know, Dan said to Socrates, why did you give all our clothes and jewelry and money to these criminals with the knives that could have killed us? And Socrates said to Dan, you know, about finding, it was, I can't remember the exact words, but it was about finding the beauty in even the most unlikely, misfortunate places.
I love that.
I think that's just incredible, because often we'll walk past a homeless person on the street, or something that's a little bit disfigured, a dog that's got one leg or something, you know, and we judge things. And I think it's just, I think we just have to like just snap out of it a little bit, because I do believe that we're just wearing not rose-colored lenses, but we're just blocked by what we want to see, and we're not actually seeing the truth.
I think there's a lot of wisdom in what you're saying, that sometimes we assume that we know the story of what we're seeing, and we don't stop to pursue it any further. You know, so it becomes very easy to dismiss the homeless person on the street as somebody who's lazy and doesn't want to work, for example, or to, you know, judge the cat slinking away as a feral animal, somebody we shouldn't approach. And yet there are stories behind these things that give us humanity. Well, it's been really nice talking to you, Sarah, and it feels like we know we've had this lovely sort of meandering conversation touching on these different things in life that are in some ways small, but in some ways so big and so important.
Absolutely.
So if someone wants to find out more about you and about your skincare, this incredible, organic, healthy skincare, where can they find you?
All right. Yeah, wonderful. So there's probably not too much on me. If you're wanting to learn more about the natural skincare, which is all eco-friendly, made with love, made in Australia, made by me, you can go to nowbysml.com. That's nowbysml.com. As well, I'm on all social media just about, and I'm at nowbysml.
All right, wonderful. Sarah, thank you so much for being here and giving us your time. It's so exciting to talk to somebody who's clearly all the way across the world. Isn't that wonderful what technology can do for us?
Yeah, it's wonderful. Thank you so much.
We have been talking to Sarah Little. She is the founder of Now by SML, an incredible skincare line. And if you go into her site, you will see that her skin just glows. She is a walking advertisement for her product for sure. And we've been talking about a lot of topics today, but I think the one that stands out for me is really this idea that there's beauty to be found everywhere. And it's really up to us to slow down and find those times when we can really look around us without judgment and just inviting curiosity to be our friend and to sit with us as we look around the world. This is Dr. Dreema. We'll be talking soon.